This morning I conclude a sermon series entitled The Eyes of Faith. This is the final sermon in the series, and the title for this sermon is simply Arise. There are two scripture readings. The first is the Easter story from the Gospel of Matthew. I begin reading in chapter 28 at verse 1. Listen for God's good news to us on this Easter 2019. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come see the place where he lay." And then our second reading is from Mark chapter 5, the story of the miracle of Jesus raising a young girl to life. I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 38. The disciples and Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered the room, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. Oh Lord, on this beautiful Easter morning, we thank you for the gift of your word revealed to us in Scripture. But we also thank you for your word revealed to us in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And so from these stories today that we have heard read, give us eyes of faith to see the true meaning of Easter for our very lives. In the name of the risen Christ we pray, amen. Well, the Easter sermon today consists of several stories that I've tried to weave together, all five of them. And all of them have to do with time and telling us just what time it is. Five stories, in fact, three stories from the Bible, and then two stories from an old preaching professor of mine. The first story is the Easter story, which we heard just a moment ago. The story of God raising Jesus from the dead. And we'll come back to the truth of this story as we visit the other stories this morning. The second story of the five is the story of the little girl who Jesus awakened from death. And I read that story for two reasons this morning. First, because in this story, Jesus refers in it to death here, using one of the most tender words that people use when they refer to death, the word sleep. Now, Jesus uses the word sleep not to deny the fact that the girl was dead, but to announce that he had come to awaken her. Notice how he does this. He uses his native tongue, Aramaic, and he calls to the little girl as if a mother calling for her child to wake up. "Little one, it's time to get up. Arise." The second reason I tell this story is because of a recent donation of a small artistic sculpture of a little girl that is now in the Memorial Garden. The Memorial Garden Board and our session has gratefully received it. Church members Bob and Mary Jane Redpath, prior to Mary Jane's death in January, they had done some research for 3 years wanting to provide a work of art simply that would enhance the Memorial Garden and attract everyone to notice it and to utilize it if appropriate. For those of you who know Bob, he is very much into detail, a retired dental surgeon, and he turned down the first 5 statues that the artist made. He received the sixth one and accepted it. It is now there, just in the Memorial Garden, and it is beautiful. They made this donation simply out of gratitude for the church having a sacred place where people of the church could have the cremains of their loved ones placed. It's like the modern version of the old cemetery. There's a longer story to this sculpture coming here, but I'll let Bob share that in the future during A Minute for Mission. But today I want to thank Bob publicly. He was present at the 9:30 service outside, and I want to encourage all of you to visit the Memorial Garden, and I suggested the name of the sculpture be Little Girl Arise, from this story in Mark's Gospel. The final story from the Bible this morning that I want to share is not one that I'm going to read to you. It's a long story from John chapter 11. That's your assignment, by the way. You have an assignment for Easter to read John chapter 11 in its entirety. It's the story of Jesus raising his best friend, Lazarus, from the tomb. Lazarus had died. The story from John chapter 11, it goes something like this. Mary and Martha, now they were sisters of Lazarus. Lazarus became very ill, and Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus to come quickly. But when Jesus heard the news, he didn't go to see him. It's only when Jesus is aware that Lazarus was dead that he does finally go to see him. And when he arrives in Bethany, where they are, he learns that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, when Jesus arrives in Bethany, Martha confronts Jesus when he arrives, and she says to him in her grief, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha, you see, knew of Jesus' power to heal. Already in John's Gospel, before the 11th chapter, Jesus had performed some very mighty miracles. And so one of the important things to remember from this story is not just that Jesus actually did raise Lazarus from the dead, but to note that Jesus knew Lazarus was sick, and yet he stayed exactly where he was and didn't go to see him. He intentionally waited until Lazarus had run out of time. Now, let me say, the notion of time in this story and in all of Jesus' ministry is like a theological sign that stands over all of history and over our lives as well, because we're running out of time. In many families, there are broken relationships. There are marriages that are under strain. There are children who are facing challenges. There are parents who are facing challenges raising children. There are relatives that we haven't spoken to perhaps in a while. We wish it were better, but we're running out of time. And one of the truths that stands at the end of every hallway of human life is that old death stands there waving a clock saying, "Eventually, you come to me. I am the Lord of time, and you're running out of it. Tick tock." listen to Martha's voice and her grief one more time this morning. Lord, if you had been here, but you weren't, my brother Lazarus would not have died. Notice when you reread John chapter 11 that it is exactly when Lazarus had run out of time that Jesus says in the story to his disciples, "Come on, it's time to go to the tomb." To which the disciples say in the story, "Jesus, don't go in there now. He's been dead for 4 days. He smells like death. Don't go in now." To which Jesus says in the story, "This is not about death, but it is about the glory of God." And he went to the doorway of Lazarus' tomb just as he goes to the doorway of every human tomb of despair. And he announces in a loud voice, "Awaken, arise, the time has come, get up." "Death is not the Lord of time," says Jesus. "I am the Lord of time." That's the Easter message. And here's the gospel truth this morning. It's not life that's running out of time. It's death that's running out of time. It's not justice that's running out of time. It's injustice that's running out of time. It's not hope that's running out of time. It's despair that's on the clock. By the way, if you want to know what time it is, when you're reading about Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, you really have to wear two wristwatches, or have two cell phones, because I notice a lot of people keep time on their cell phones nowadays. But let's use the analogy of the watch. You have to have two. With one watch, it tells you ordinary time. It's April 21st, 2019, 11:45. We're running out of time. But with the other watch, it tells us God's time, eternal time, the time in which God has willed and in which God, of all things God has created, is being brought into perfection in eternity. And it is Jesus Christ who refuses to participate in the atheistic belief that we are running out of time. Because it is Jesus Christ, is it not, who is the Lord of time? I like the way the theologian of the last century, Karl Barth, put it. He said, "If I give you my money, I give you my money. But if I give you my time, I give you everything that I have, everything that I am." In the resurrection story of Jesus Christ, God gives us God's time, eternal time. God makes time for us. God takes time for us. And the scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Two modern stories from an old preacher of mine. My preaching professor from seminary, Dr. Thomas Long, he tells the story about leading a workshop for ministers on the west side of Atlanta. Now, Dr. Long's office is on the east side of Atlanta, now at Candler School of Theology at Emory University. And during the workshop, they had the Wednesday afternoon off, and Dr. Long didn't want to drive from the west side all the way back to the east side and then come back for the evening session, and so he had to kill some time. And he thought, "Well, I need a haircut, so I'll look for one of those places where you can just walk in, like a Quick Cuts or a Fantastic Sam's." And he found one. And when he sat down in the chair, there was a friendly Southern African-American woman who said to him, "I don't recognize you, sugar. Have you ever been in this shop before?" And he responded, no, I'm a seminary professor, I'm a minister, and I'm leading a workshop for ministers at a retreat center just down the road, and we're on an afternoon break, and I needed a haircut. And she responded, oh, sugar, I'm a Christian too. That's great, he said. And then she added, I'm a member of Creflo Dollars Church here in the west side of Atlanta. And Dr. Long said he just groaned on the inside. Because if you've ever heard of Creflo Dollar, he is Atlanta's premier preacher of the God Wants You to Be Rich gospel. And Reverend Dollar, what a name. Chris Curvin, Chris Cash, Reverend Cash. Maybe I'll change my name after Easter. But Reverend Dollar, he has a fleet of limousines, a private jet, a number of luxurious mansions, all paid for with tithes and offerings of the people. Well, Dr. Long said to himself, he thought, well, I've sat down for a bad haircut. Now I'm about to hear bad theology. But then he thought again. He said, well, she's got the razor, so perhaps I ought to play along. So Dr. Long said to the hairstylist, have you ever received your blessing yet at Reverend Dollar's church? Oh, yes, she said, sugar. I've received my blessing 10 times over. Now, what he expected was for her to tell him about the diamond ring in the scissors drawer or the Jaguar convertible she had parked in the parking lot, but she didn't say anything about either of those. Instead, she said, 2 nights a week, I'm blessed in getting to volunteer at a shelter for battered women. I used to be one, you know, and they listened to me at the shelter. And Dr. Long thought to himself in surprise, I think Jesus Christ is at Creflo Dollar's church. And then he said, I realized he is. And what Jesus does is this. He stands outside in the parking lot until the message inside is so compromised that the gospel is dead and reeks of death. And then he turns to his disciples, to all of us, and says, it's time to go in. To which we say, Jesus, don't go into that church. It's dead. It's compromised. And Jesus says, just like in John chapter 11 to us, this is not about death. It's about the glory of God. And he goes into that church and he finds a $9 an hour hairdresser and ordains her to the ministry of the Lord Most High to work with battered women. Praise God. The resurrection of Jesus, it tells us today, it shouts at us today that it's not life that's running out of time, it's death that's running out of time. It's not justice that's running out of time, it's injustice that's on the clock. It's not hope that's running out of time, it's despair. Well, this story, and I close. This story appeared a number of years ago in the New York Times. It's about a Yale-educated physician, Dr. Joyce Wallace. You can look her up on the internet, Dr. Joyce Wallace, Dr. New York City, Manhattan. But a number of years ago, she had this opportunity with this Yale education to be a lucrative, wildly successful physician in East Manhattan, perhaps with a penthouse practice. But instead, she began her medical clinic in a Ford Econoline van in Midtown Manhattan. And she began it seeking to help women who were caught up in prostitution, of all things. When she found them, what she would do is she would give them 3 things. She would give them medical care, she would give them a word of encouragement and a word of liberation. If you ever want to break free from all of this, I have a group of people who will support you in every way possible. Now, the reporter who wrote the article for the New York Times, he admired Dr. Wallace's efforts, but he was a little skeptical. And he said to her, you know, he said, with all these women, these prostitutes that come to you, many of them must die from AIDS and drug overdose. It must be very discouraging to you, Dr. Wallace. And Dr. Wallace said in her response, well, that's one way to look at it, but my mother has taught me another way to look at it. How so? He said, well, my mother was, for all of her career, a special education elementary school teacher who taught children who had suffered from brain damage. And my mother always said to me, Joyce, don't just look at the damage, look at the whole child. Don't just look at the circumstances that caused this in this child's life. Look instead with eyes of faith at that child, at the image of God that has been preserved for all eternity now. She said, I learned this best one night when I attended a PTA meeting in which my mother and her class of students had been asked to provide the evening program. And my mother had rehearsed her students in singing songs from the Broadway play, My Fair Lady. She said, it never occurred to my mother that the audience would burst into tears, because it never occurred to my mother not to let a 6-year-old brain-damaged little girl roll across the stage and sing, I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. We know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all time, and dance one day she will, and so will all of we. Little girl, it's time to get up. Arise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.